We'll conduct our lives according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
All right, let's pray. Father, bless the reading and the studying of thy word to refresh our heart and to know you more. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The familiar parable of the talents that is found in Matthew's chapter 25 is the third in the series of parables that we are searching this month under the title. I always put a title for the month, and this month is The Secrets of the Parables. The parables were the stories that Jesus taught, and they were really stories parallel to a truth that he wants to teach. I'm going to use the Bible, and I'm going to give you the page number. It will be the same Bible you have in the pew, the King James Version of the Bible. Now, the story is introduced for us in verses 14 to 18. I'm going to read it for you. It's in page 1070 in the Bible in the pew, and I read the introduction of the parable that Jesus made. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants or his own employees and delivered unto them his goods, or some Bible said his properties. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. His several abilities mean the abilities of the employees. And straightway took his journey or make his trip. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and trade or invested with the same and made them other 5 talents. Verse 17, and likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dig in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, that's the introduction. And let us recall this introduction in our mind. Here is a master, an owner of a property, who is absent, and certain ones are waiting for the return of their absent master, the absent Lord. Now, clearly, without any mistake, this parable is addressed to you and to me. We, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't matter what denomination you belong to, doesn't matter if you are Catholic, Protestant, or whatever, if you have trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the salvation of your soul, we are waiting for the return again of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. And I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, page 1180. 1180. Then you find over there in big numbers are the chapters, and the small numbers are the verses. That's the way the Bible was divided in 1180 by a Catholic Pope who did a tremendous work in putting the Bible together so that we can know where the things are. All right? Here is what the Dr. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, says in chapter 1 and in verse 11. Men of Galilee, Jesus just took off. Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was with the disciples. And in modern times, we will think the helicopter came in from heaven, helicopter 1, and Jesus went up. The helicopter was a cloud, all right? Because the Bible said that he was placed in a cloud and moved up to heaven. And so they were shocked that this happened. They were waiting for a Lord, a leader to control Israel and to control the world and power. And now their leader, resurrected, is taken off to heaven. And look at what the scripture says. Men of Galilee, that means that's an expression for Jewish people. Doesn't matter you were born in Galilee or not. Why do you stand looking into heaven or up to heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So we are like these servants who are waiting for the return of the master. This parable then is intended to give you and me instruction during the time. What time? The time that Jesus took up to heaven until he comes back from heaven. So it's the actual parable for all of us. It's 2,000 years old, but as fresh as tomorrow's newspaper. It's a parable who will give you and I instruction and how to live in this world between two times, the time in which Jesus took off to heaven and the time that he will return to heaven. Now, the central question in the parable is, what do these talents represent? These ought to quicken our interest a bit and steer our excitement, because this is a quest, a search for a hidden truth under the word talent that you and I read. When we learn what these talents really mean, we will know what it is our Lord saying in this story. So when you and I pick up the real instruction, what a talent really means, then the story fits together. And if we know what he is saying, we will discover a truth that is enriching your life and my life, and it's time to be excited and to live an exciting Christian life. Well, that brings to the central question. What are these talents that we read about? Well, let us see if we can find out. The Lord gave us four clues that will help us to search and to find out what that means. And so I'm going to look into these four clues that will be right there in the Bible for you. The first one is quite obvious. It's in the 14th verse. Look at the 14th verse again. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his son employees or servants and delivered unto them his good of his property. The man in this story is representative of our Lord, who has gone away. Before he went, he distributed his property. You got it? The man in this story is Jesus, who went away, and now before he went, he distributed this property. Thus, the talents here in this story represent something that belong to God, not to man. Those talents belong to God. They were of Jesus, and he trusted the employees with them. It is not something we have. Oh, I'm a talent person. There is no such an animal in the Bible. All right? It is not something we have. It is not something that we possess. It is something he, Jesus, owns and distributes among men according to his will. That's the first clue. These talents are not something that I have in me, I'm a talented person. No, it's something that God has and has given to you and to me for some purpose that we will see it in a minute. That's the first clue. I cannot be proud of those talents. I have to be thankful that I have those talents. Number two, the second clue is found in the next verse, verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2. And to another, 1. To every man according to his several ability. Underline that. He gave the talents to enrich the abilities of the man, and straight away he took his journey. Now, the last phrase of that text, to each according to his ability is the second clue. You got it? God did not just give talents. Actually, it's like enriching your talents. The property that belongs to God is given to us on the basis of our natural abilities. Some of you are real craftsmen. I am not a craftsman. My wife can verify to you. If I take a hammer, it's going to be broken. I can cut and do things, but no use in a hammer at all. You protect yourself. You don't ask me to nail something. But I cannot sing in the choir. You will leave quickly. So Pastor Gray, one of those days I'm going to play the harmonica, and he's going to sing, and you hear us in the street, all right? This is what Jesus is talking about. The talent, obviously, then, do not represent this natural gift. Each one of you have a natural gift. Each one of you. These children you saw here, the boy playing the piano, is a natural gift that he has. It's a natural gift that he has. You see Deborah decorating things. It's a natural gift. She can spend hours in a table, and she moves the hands, and something comes so beautiful. I can spend the same hours on the table, and you will run away again. So, you see, they are something that is related to them, these talents, but they are not the same thing. One thing is a gift of God, and another thing is your natural talent. Surely that helps us in our search. They are something that is given to us on the basis of the fact that you have certain natural talents, certain natural gifts, and God enhanced them. Because he gave according to his ability. God's not going to give me the talent to sing because I don't have that ability. All right? That's very, very important. So, first clue, we discover the talents are not your property, it's God's property. Secondly, those talents are in addition to your natural abilities. All right? I tell you, I observe all of you constantly, and I see the marvelous things you do. I admire accountants. I don't care about if my checkbook is balanced or it's $100 off. I care less about it. But my wife makes a big, big deal for 25 cents. You can see the accounting ability. Brother Jack Assangen, I remember, one time makes a big deal for 30 cents off on Russell's spending. And Russell had to put it out of his pocket. And we went out and have a hamburger, the three of us, and we laugh around. But boy, we knew that this church keep the balance sharp. And Russell told me, I'm glad that Jack did that to me. Jack, thank you. All right. Now, the third clue is implied in this story. It is not stated directly, but it is certainly implied in this story. It is that these talents are something the Lord gave in order that they might be invested. Remember? They have to be invested. They are something that can be risked. When you invest, you risk. I remember Brother Cassada was an investor, and I did an investment with him, and he said, well, do you like to risk, he said. So if you like to risk, I have these investments, and if you don't like to risk, you play safe, I have this investment. Now, God likes to risk because these talents are to be invested, to risk. They are something that can be risked, something that can be ventured. All right? These men were to put them to work and earn more. That's what the Lord said. They were to risk them, invest them. Thus, the talent represent in our life something that is God's property given to us on the basis of our natural gift and which can be put to work, invested, can be risked. Interesting how the Lord proceeds. Now, we have one more clue, and it is related to the last one that I mentioned to you. It is clear from this story that the investment of the talents is made on behalf of the absent Lord, not the servants. I invest the talents, but I don't collect the dividends. All right? It is something the servant reaps to benefit the absent Lord. It is something he does in order to help his master or please his master. The risk is taken by the servant, but the benefit belongs to the Lord. Is that giving you a picture of how to behave your life? The servant is expected to do this without deducting any broker's fee for the risk taken. In other words, these gifts given by God, these wonderful talents, are not to make you proud, but are to make God shine around you. Well, what is it? I'm very interested. What is it? Here we have the clue. Something that is God's property, not ours, but it is tribute to each of us who profess to be Christians on the basis of the natural abilities that we have. It is something that we can risk, but not for our sake, but for the Lord. That is, in a nutshell, the introduction of the Lord. God has given you something that you invested for him, and people see God in your investment. Now, if we have proceeded accurately here, we will see that the talents represent the opportunities that come to us as professing Christians to invest and utilize the natural abilities that God has given us, not on our behalf, but on Christ's sake. Now, that's serious now. These opportunities are the talents. Is clear? I had to face that 34 years ago. Keep on enriching myself and making a name in my profession, or surrender that to God. You do the same. When you put an offering, you do the same. You can have a better car and have a better thing, or put an offering in the plate. You deny yourself for the benefit of God. See, you are seeing what the Lord Jesus said. This happened to all of us. They are moments of faithful decisions when we are confronted with the question of whether we are willing to invest our life and risk the loss of something we want in order that God may have something he wants. I remember, like today, when I say I will not be working 24 hours a day in my profession, I will go to the seminary, my wife will help me go into the bank and work as an accountant in the bank, and I will invest 24 hours every day to study, so that the 10 years of study, I've made it in 7, and wrote back to my country, and I said, I'm doing this for the Lord. And I got a letter from a dear aunt, a very beautiful aunt, very godly aunt, but missed the boat when she wrote. She said, Gabriel, there is no money in the church. That doesn't mean there is no money in the church. You know what she means? You cannot earn what you earn in your profession in the church. We came to America to make money. And we all came to make money, the foreigners. But is that the end of your life? In my case, it was not. And so the opportunity is to invest your life for his sake, or save it for yourselves, are God's opportunities which he provides. In that fateful moment, we hang between heaven and hell, a moment of crisis and decision. Now our Lord goes on to show that time of accounting must come. I remember I postponed my decision to seminary 16 years because my wife was not ready. But one day in church, we were sitting. Beautiful sermon by Pastor Weniger, the dean of the seminary. And she said, I'm ready to serve the Lord. In other words, she means, I'm ready to have the cats and everything. I'm ready to start with nothing again. We have saved a lot of money for this. And I use it all for my seminary. I don't have to work in the seminary. And then I feel new. And I guess the pastor was waiting because when I walked forward and said, I'm ready to the seminary, he said, tomorrow morning I take you to the seminary. I said, but this is January. He said, half of the year. So you're smart. You can learn the rest in 2-3 days and keep on going. And you have in a Hebrew class, they already study a year. I had to learn it in a week. It's just crazy. But he was so excited. He was so excited. Now, remember, this is not the whole parable. Remember that the master came back and requires an accounting. And so now comes the real juice of the parable. See, our Lord goes on to show that a time of accountability is coming. The master of those servants come and settle the account with them. Let me read verse 20 and verse 19 to 21, and let me show you. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. He said, I want an accounting. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This first man has made 100% return on the opportunities, the talents given to him. In terms of the application of these to our own life, it means that here is a man who made a full use of his opportunities to risk himself for the Lord's sake. He took the chance that he might never have the prominence or the influence or the power that he could have, but instead, he deliberately invested his life to give God what he wants. As a result of this investing of himself, he won 5 more talents. In 1988, I was sitting with Dr. Billy Graham in his own house. And I asked 2 questions to him. He wants me to be the dean of Columbia University in South Carolina. And they have set everything ready for me to be there. And I loved so much my radio ministry, I never accepted. But I said, I will have the blessings of my life to be alone with the master of the gospel, Dr. Billy Graham, in his own house in South Carolina. And he said to me, Dr. Otero, peaceful, gracious as he was, what do you like to know? I said, 2 things about you. Number one, how do you keep yourself pure like you did? Very simple, he said. I read the book of Proverbs every day. Today is 20, I read 20. Tomorrow is 21, I read 21. And I keep on, the month is over, I start all over again. I just read the scripture and read the scripture and goes on, he said. And number two, he said, I owe this to President Nixon. When I saw the country down, the country that I love so much, I visited President Nixon and I told him, will be good for me to run as president after Nixon. And he put his hand on my shoulder and said, preacher, you have a gift of preaching, not a gift to be crook, he said. And he said, when you are a president, he said, you become a crook because you have to make deals. When you're a preacher, you don't make deals. He said, you preach the word. You cannot do that in that chair. He said to him, he said, so he saved me from an error. But I could be a president of the United States. So that fits into the picture. You know, the accountability. He was accountable to God for the tremendous gift of Dr. Graham that from anywhere he can preach the gospel, only given to him in a marvelous way. And so he was grateful. Now, take the next man. Look in verse 22 and verse 23. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. And thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This man only gained two talents. Is that 50%? No. That is 100%. He gained as much proportionally as the one who had five to begin with. He is not as gifted as the other man, but he's equally committed, equally faithful. He has used his opportunities to be full. He was risk himself for the cause of Jesus Christ. To that man, likewise, the Lord said very clear, well done, good and faithful servant. So doesn't matter if you have many gifts or one gift. The key in the parable is you must use the gift of God in your life. Don't envy anybody with 20 gifts. Don't envy, please. Envy is not part of the Christian life. There is a man who shines in this way, and there is another man who shines in the other way. I want to show you now. I'm going to recall in my mind, even though I don't have the notes in the sermon, I'm going to recall to you a man that is keep in my mind shine as a janitor of Calvary Baptist Church in Alameda in the time of war, in the time of Vietnam. We went to that church, and the church was impeccable. You don't see one little thing on the floor. And the man, Raquel went to Argentina for 3 months, and I was alone, and this man was elderly. Always, I grew up with elderly grandparents, so I always look for elderly people to associate so I can learn from them. And I said to him, he has no car. I said, live in Berkeley. The church was in Alameda. I said, I take you home if you after church. He said, well, pastor, after church, I have to look that every scene is in order. And so we went. I was in seminary, and we went. We looked into the church, everything, and I drove him. He said, you know, I'm a retired janitor. And when I retire, I said, I'm going to dedicate my talent to clean for the Lord. And he did. Every day he will come in and see if he's a kind of Donald here. You don't know, but Donald comes on Tuesday at 6. And he goes through the wall like this. Oh, there is a mark. That's where the walls are impeccable. Oh, pastor, look, that is not in line. I just enjoy the gift of people. You know, and he was there. To me, he was number one. The church did one good thing. Because he was number one janitor, they paid a trip all the way to Israel for 15 days as a crown of his ministry. He never got a penny back. He don't want a charge to the church. In other words, this man who has two talents used his opportunities to the full. He has risked himself for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. To that man, likewise, the Lord said, well, well done. Now come to the third man, and this is the heart of the parable. Now comes the juice of the parable. The third man, verse 24 to 31. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast no sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. See, God can get people saved anywhere. Verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thy that is thine. His Lord, verse 28, answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful or lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow it not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges or to the bank, and then at my coming I should have received my own with the prophet, usury, say here the King James. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what that Jesus means by that in verse 30. This is a revelation of the basic purpose of life. This is why you are here this morning. Fundamentally, God puts people into the world in order that they may increase and they may grow. Listen carefully to this. This is the heart of the lesson. God put people in the world so they may grow. This is why he is teaching here this fundamental principle. This is a fundamental law of life, is it not? Do you like flowers? This is true of plants in your yards. You have a plant and you watch it every day. You put some chemicals on it and water every day. You measure, you read how much water the plant requires, what's the volume of the recipient, what's the sun degrees that day, and you know exactly how much water the plant will consume. And the next day, I watch it. I have a patio closed that the deers cannot get in, and I had four plants. There, I watch them. And I give it. Maria gave me one of them. And the plants should be dead at this time. But I care so much that she is there. And what I watch is she multiply by two the flowers that I take off. And the plant does. In other words, I want production. I want growth. Otherwise, the plants will be dead. This is true in your plants and your yard. This is true of animals around you. This is true of you and me as human beings, both physically and spiritual. It is a fundamental purpose of life. If there is no increase, no growth, then there is no reason to exist. That is what our Lord is saying. It is essential that life grow. How can you grow and fulfill your humanity? Unless you grow in the totality of your being, you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You grow in your body, you have a baby, then 1 year old, then 10 years old, and now here you are. Your soul is your personality. You learn to discern right from wrong. Your spirit is life, is what God has given you, life. But you need a spiritual life. And that's what he's teaching here. He is teaching that the person who doesn't develop his life finally is good for nothing. In those words, the Lord made clear the real problem. The trouble is this man did not intend to be a servant. He did what he wanted. The Lord said, go and invest it. He said, well, I do what I want. The Lord has given you a gift for a purpose. And you do not own that gift. The Lord owns that gift. And you as a servant need to do what he says. He was not at all interested in the master's interest. He was interested in his own. He was taking the role of a servant, but he was really unwilling to fulfill it. Yes, give me that gift, but I do what I want with the gift. We cannot do what we want with the gift that God has given to our talent. We have to be using that for the Lord Jesus. He was pretending to be what he was not, a servant. When the Lord returned, he simply revealed the hypocrisy of the man. Therefore, he is justified in the way he said, cast this man. When I read that, I said, it's not that too tough. Cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. That means this man thought that he was a Christian. He pretended to be a Christian. He played like a Christian, but he was not a Christian because he was not a servant of God. See, Christians are servants of God. Our will is gone, and God's will is what we do. You got it? We check that. Amazing. So I said to myself, now that I know the parable, now that I know it's not so complicated like I thought, now I said, Lord, What is the message for me today in the year 2000? In 10, what's the message? The message is this: Gabriel, invest your life, risk it for Christ's sake. But he is also saying to us, to those with 5 talents or 2 talents, risk them. Don't keep it to yourself. Risk them. A man who is very talented in our church, very talented for the gospel's sake, is Chris McCain. If you go with him to any place, be ready to have 2 or 3 Bibles and 25 trucks. Because he said, Pastor, you see it? I see 2 or 3 people. Say, yeah. You got Bibles? Yeah. You got papers? Yeah. Oh, he goes over there. 3 minutes later, I'm talking to all these people. How he does it? How you stopping a stranger? Say, stop right there. You're going to die. Blah, 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 blah. He goes, and very soon, everybody's interested. I'm just impressed how God developed in the people's life their talent. Put your opportunities to work for God's sake. Do not bottle up your life and try to hang on to it. Lose it for Christ's sake. Give it up. Give it to Jesus. You know what has happening in our own country. You know. It's not the Democrats, the Republicans, the Tea Party, and the Coffee Party. No, it's not that. Not that. No. Forces of a spiritual darkness are invading us, are taking over our country, and law and order seems to be able to do little about it. What does it mean? I thought, well, it means that the church, they're supposed to be the salt in our community, is acting not as salt. It is trying to withdraw from life. It is not involving itself. As a result, life began to crumble all around us because the church is no longer the substance of the gospel, feeding the people of God with the word of God. And so now we have the church as an imitation of society and entertainment. I have to answer to the question, for whom are you living today, Gabriel? For whom are you living today? For your own interests? Or are you ready to risk something for Christ's sake? Thank God for those who are catching on and risk something for Christ's sake. And with that statement, I'm going to say something that makes me really happy to preach this sermon. From the first pew here, all the way around, and all the way to here, all of you are doing something in this church. Some of you are praying for me, and I appreciate it. I love it. Some of you are painters. Some of you, these little 2 boys, they take the bulletins, and they stay outside, and with a smile on their face, they are sharing the bulletin for those who come late. Some of the people, Brother Laurel is doing the administration and accounting. Brother Plika is with his oldest presence. He's given us the seriousness of how thinking, how respectful. Dana is making all the inserts. Bernie is donating her life to make the bulletins and prepare these and the other. Every one of you. Devin grew up and started playing the piano. Tanyan is a masterpiece of music for us. And Henry is our consultant and doing this and the other. And Brother Ralph has been for years in the back. Brother Fred is catching up with them. Brother Greg does everything you want to. Maria, you can, you know, if I can name all of you, I tell you, I'd be sinful if I. Brother here is a master in getting in the computer, Olivas, and so on. And some of you at the beginning, Romulo, help us in the board, Elenita, every one of you have invested a little bit of your life, living close or far away from us. You saw that this church was your church, and you have invested your life with us. And those people who come new, they catch the idea. There are no professionals here. There are no paid staff here. We all want one thing, you to know Christ and be happy and joyful. And if you have a need, we're here for you to support you and to lead you. Thank you, church. You made me so happy. You made me the most happy pastor in the whole world. I have preached this sermon with a great joy that, Lord, I have seen what the Lord said in you. So I want to say thank you for being a reflection of this. And Brother Kong and Maria, with their wealth, they have shared with us and support us and guide us. Brother Jack Kasanjan in heaven, and I hope he's resting. All right, he may do investments there. But I tell you, it's just so beautiful to be a pastor of people who have taken the job in their shoulders. And I watch you, and I write sometimes, I have a booklet on talents, and I write down at home what I see in you. And I look later on and see if I'm right or wrong. It's just so beautiful. All right? Somebody told me the other day, I'm so glad for Brother Wayne. Well, yeah, he's a short fellow. What did he do? He said, Brother Wayne really helped me when I came to church. I asked Wayne, he said, oh, I just greet the person and bring it in. So, Brother Veloz, Brother Wayne, doesn't matter if that's one talent or two talents. You're investing that for the Lord. You're investing. Young people, invest something that you have, the ability you have, in the addition of what the Lord gave you, invest it for the Lord. You will never repent it. You will never repent it. Thank you, church. Father, in the Bible, we are called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Lord, we pray that we may do so in understanding that it is not our commitment that makes the difference. It is your power working through us. But it can only work through those who are committed to it. So grant to us the increasing understanding and insight and readiness to obey you in that respect and to follow you and to give our life to the ministry. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Have the fellowship luncheon. We're going to feed you well this week and the following week. The following week, the church is paying for all the meat and the barbecue for you, and it's going to be gorgeous. One correction on the announcement, missionary Martha is going to speak on the 10th. She's going to be here on the 3rd, but it's going to give a report to the church as we do for all the missionaries on the 10th in the evening. Let's pray. Father, we are able to say thank you for giving us those talents. Some are prayer. Some are enhancing our abilities to do something. And this church can fulfill and is fulfilling the command of being involved. Every member here, every friend is involved in the church doing something. Thank you, Lord. So that their life is developed in a marvelous way. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the insight to feed your people, to enrich them with your word so that they can grow and enjoy the fellowship and the love of each other. Thank you for the love that is in this church. Thank you for Jesus, who loves so much. And we pray that in the year to come, in the new year, we may increase our labor and our work, whether in this place or in any place, that we will keep things simple and that we will keep one priority, each other. The most important part of our church is your people. And I want to keep it in that way. Thank you for those who co-labor with me, for the entire church. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.